Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, and I want to consider verses 37 down to verse 47 for our lesson tonight, as we want to just look just briefly at the works of the church. And we want to focus there's different parts of focus here in looking in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 down to verse 47, and there are three different things that we can be able to point out in the works of the church, and we want to talk about that for a few moments tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 down to verse 47. Again, we read here where they heard this. They heard the message Peter preached to them. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Since they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. as we think about these verses here, the beginning of the church in Jerusalem taking place, we see a church growing and continuing to grow. And we think about ourselves looking at this, focusing on a few things here. Things that are beneficial in works of the church that will help us. We may ask ourselves about what these roles are. What are the roles for the church? And we can see that there is a responsibility for us here. However, there is also responsibility for individuals and also the church, as we talked about. As we consider God's word, we can be able to get an understanding of the church and the works of it. And there, again, I want to point out three for our time tonight. That'll be beneficial. That will help us and have a better understanding of this. I want to begin off talking about kind of reverse order. So we look towards the end of this reading here in Acts chapter 2. We read about how these individuals, they had possessions. They had goods and they sold them. They brought the money and divided those proceeds or divided these different things to those who were in need, and talking about the work of benevolence. And we think about that's one of the works of the church today. There are many in the church that face difficulties in many different ways, whether it's financial, physical, or emotional, or whatever type of need. But as we think about the physical side of things, we can look and see the ups and downs of our economy. And I know right now as we look, we're seeing some more growth, some more progress going on, but that was not the case just a few years ago. Then you can look back and see how these things have kind of roller coastered up and down. We can study, and I remember reading about the Great Depression, seeing how the economy was going and how it was in a very dire situation. Then we can talk about some of these different recessions that have happened over the past few decades. We see some different things going on. And it was the same case back at the time of the church in Jerusalem. A church was focused on the needs to help those who were in need. It says in verse 44 of our text that they who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions, their goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. Yes, we think. We try to do our best to help those who are in need. As we look at this, this is what the church in Jerusalem was focused on. And that continued on to progress. If you go over just a couple chapters to Acts chapter 4, we see this same practice continuing on, verse 32 down to verse 37 of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 down to verse 37. It says, "A multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now again, we see the work of benevolence taking place, taking effect, where these individuals, they continue to have these goods, have these different possessions of land. They would sell the proceeds to help those out who were in need. Then we could continue on looking over in Acts chapter 6, where the church was still in, and then they eventually appointed 7 individuals to be able to oversee the work to make sure that the daily distribution was being taken care of. We see all the different types of works of benevolence. In our economy, in our society, we've seen individuals be able to help out in many different cases. You know, we can talk about all the different places where hurricanes have been hit. You know, we experienced that some in Arkansas, where some of those hurricanes that hit south of us, people would come up, or we would receive letters, and we would try to send aid back down to those churches to be able to help them, in their work and being able to try to get things back on their feet once again. But as we talk about in a local sense, we have individuals here that might have some sort of need, and we are to try to help them in any way we possibly can. When we face these difficulties, sometimes we're the church, sometimes it's the individual. Where if we are able to take care of it, we try to do our best. But also to be able to help the work, help those that are saints within the body of Christ. Over in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 26. Romans chapter 15 and verse 26. You know, we're able to, as the church, we're able to help those out amongst our fellow Christians, being able to help them out from time to time with benevolence. A church, an individual is able to help out, but as we talk about what the church helps fellow saints that are in need. As we look in verse 26 of Romans 15, it says, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." If you can kind of picture it, you got Macedonia up near in the European continent. You got Jerusalem over here in Israel, way far west or east of Macedonia, of Achaia. And these brethren here, they were sending aid to those who were poor, the saints in Jerusalem, fellow Christians that were in need. They were sending this aid to be able to try to help them. We see there was famine, there was drought, there was all this turmoil going on. And these brethren were willing to try to help out these fellow Christians. If you go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, we talk more about the understanding of saints. We talk about, in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, our Christian responsibility. It says, to distribute to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The church. The work of benevolence for the church is helping fellow saints, fellow Christians. There are times where individuals might, we get the phone call or we get someone coming up to us and asking for help, and we're able to help out, but in a different way, where individuals might be able to chip in a little bit from time to time to be able to try to help someone out that might be struggling. But again, the church focuses on being able to help fellow saints. And we see that by example in the New Testament. It helps in many ways. We see that it encourages love. It encourages those spiritual works to be able to try to drive someone to let them know we're here as a congregation, as brothers and sisters together, being able to help, not with just the spirit, but sometimes we're able to help with those physical needs also. That's one of the works of the church, is a work of benevolence. But as we continue on, another work of the church is to focus on evangelism. Over in, as we look in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching the gospel message. So we could read the entirety of Acts chapter 2, but we want to go back further in the New Testament to Mark chapter 16. Prior to the events that happened in Jerusalem, Jesus speaking to the disciples, to the apostles, and he points out a focus on evangelism. In Acts chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16, he says, "Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." You know, we think the church focuses on evangelism, on preaching the word. This is how one knows about the church that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for. This is how one knows about the kingdom. This is how one knows about the instruction from God. How are people going to know the gospel unless someone is sent? How are they going to be sent unless they know the gospel? You know, we see this chain reaction. We see that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to go and proclaim the good news to all. As a church, we proclaim the good news of God to all. One must take the courage to be able to preach the word. We do it with our word. We do it with our actions. We try to continue to focus on evangelism because without it, no one is going to know the word. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Him, Jesus Christ, as we look here. Colossians 1, verse 20 says, "Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." We need to preach Jesus. We cannot do enough of that. Someone will not know Jesus unless he is proclaimed. That's why Paul said, that's why we preach. That's why he preached. That's why we need to focus. As a congregation together, that's why we continue to focus on one of these works of the church. We focus on evangelism. To try to reach out to others that may not know him. To reach out to others that may not have obeyed him. To be able to encourage them in a way to be able to see good works. We have all been proclaimed, have been called to proclaim the gospel message. Go back to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It says here, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." The first primary focus of Paul was not to baptize, but to preach. Because what's going to happen? We read earlier in Mark chapter 16. When we preach the gospel message, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be that reaction. We see where someone is listening to it. Then we see that it leads into baptism. But we've got to be able to preach the gospel message. We got to do that first. We've got to be able to do these things first. And Paul said, "I am focused on preaching the gospel first." That was what Paul and Apollos were doing. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just go a couple chapters ahead. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And we pick up with verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. And we'll read down to verse 15. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning verse 15. "Who then is Paul?" There's Apollos. "But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one." Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, But God who gives the increase. And he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, if so was he fine. Again, we look, Paul planted, Apollos watered. But God was one who gave the increase. So Paul says, I planted, and Paul, we're nothing. We are nothing compared to what God is the one who has been able to instill all things. God gave the increase, not myself, not Apollos. We're just workers of the Lord. We are to continue to work. We're to continue to proclaim the goodness. We're to continue. That foundation has been built, and now we've got to continue to build upon that. See, we have work that we continue on doing, and that is a work of the church. It's a focus on evangelism. A vital church grows, as we read in Acts chapter 2, and looking at verse 47, the Lord was adding daily those who were being saved. How are they being saved? Well, Peter preached, did what? He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He was focusing on spreading the word. Then we see where the baptism comes into play. The Lord will open the heart and add those who are being saved. We've got to trust in the Lord and His power and do this work of the church, focusing on evangelism. One more to consider tonight, and that is the work of edification. And this word edification means to be able to build up one another. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11 down to verse 16 with me. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Then he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, into the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Two times in our reading there, we read about edifying. Paul says that there were some people that had different types of works within the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some... again, we see the list of all the different things. What purpose did they have? The equipping of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Then we focus on the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. That we're not children tossed to and fro, kind of given about with every wind of trickery and doctrine. But we focus as being a complete and whole body of Christ, joined and knit together, where Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. Every part doing its working in fair share. Can we see what's the result? We see where there's growth. Also edification, building each other up, seeing that growth continuing to happen. We're to continue to build each other up daily. Again, focusing, we can see, yes, we see a complete body. The body, being able to form and do all these different functions. We talk about our physical body and how it's amazing to see all the different functions that you can do. Here I am, I'm sitting there, I'm talking, I'm able to move my hands, I'm sitting here kind of leaning from side to side. The nice thing is I don't have to focus as much on trying to remind myself to breathe. My body does that for me automatically as God allows it. But we see how it's able to do all these different things and flow together in the head, being able to send all these different signals. Christ being the head of the church, being the focal point. And then we as members, we're doing our part. We might have, we all have different capabilities. We all have different abilities. And we can say, well, if I'm not this or that, then I'm not being effective. No, that's not the case. Every part has an important part. Some people will say, well, what about the appendix on the body? It's hard to understand exactly what type of focus or what function it has. But do you know, when you get appendicitis, what happens to your body? It hurts. The whole body hurts, doesn't it? You got to get that removed. And apparently it serves a purpose, because when it hurts, even though we still don't understand what type of function, whatever minimal function it has, it serves a purpose, because when it hurts, the whole body hurts. Just as when we see when we are not this complete, when our body is starting to break down, so we see where there's some of some of those things that begin to happen, some of that breakdown begins to happen, and we see our body's not working in its full effective way. We're not living faithfully enough. We're not continuing to build each other up. We can see where that decay can begin to take place. We need to be those precious stones building up a spiritual. We each are representatives of the body of Christ. Over in 1 Peter, if you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 down to verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. We're all special. We're all unique to God. We have purpose. We look at 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which also they were appointed.'" Verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We are special to God, precious to God, living stones building up the spiritual house of God, where Christ is the chief cornerstone. So we are building upon that. We are a chosen generation, a special people to God, called out of sin into the light of God. And we're to continue to build that spiritual house. We're to continue to build one another up. Being able to preach the word, being able to build each other up, maybe sometimes being able to help and meet those physical needs, work using those works of benevolence. We can see where we can be able to aid and comfort our brethren in different ways. But again, we're to edify, to continue on that, building each other up. And we've got to remain faithful to God. Sometimes, part of this edification, I know people may ask a question or scratch it, that doesn't make complete sense, but sometimes that building up one another sometimes has to come through church discipline. We're seeing someone suffering with sin. We see someone that is fallen away from God. We see someone that has committed these actions. And if they're unwilling to repent, sometimes we're building each other up by trying to discipline them, to show that correction needs to be made. I can't tell you how many times, my mom and dad love them to death. I can't tell you how many times in life I heard that this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, Dad. I thought about that, and for some reason, I may have told my kids that from time to time. Haven't I, Corey? Haven't I, Ophelia, said those words? It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But it's being able to try to build each other up. Trying to encourage one to overcome sin. Trying to gain our brother or sister back in this matter. We must handle sin in a proper way amongst the church. Again, focusing on trying to build each other up. When we focus on these things, we focus on trying to build each other up in all aspects of life as a church, as a body of Christ. When we focus on this, our church, the church, becomes edifying. We become more zealous for good works. Over in Titus chapter 2. And in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And look at verse 14 with me. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2. Verse 14. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself, notice with me here, his own special people. We just talked about that. And now notice what Paul says in Titus. You know, again, Christ being able to give himself for us and everything, being able to do these things, purify himself and his own special people, who are now zealous for good works. Passionate for good works. Having that inferno, that towering inferno, wanting to do good works. When we focus on these things as a church, when we become edified, we can be able to be zealous for good works. And not only that, we can stir up love and good works, not only in ourselves, but those whom we come in contact with. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We focus on a greater reward. We focus on this love and good works, stirring that up in one another, and a reward that the people of God will inherit. And I hope as we look at this tonight, we can have a better understanding of these different works that are needed in church. We talk about the physical needs of benevolence, and then we can talk about more on the spiritual side of evangelism and edification. These are some of the prominent works that the church is involved with. And we can see the effects of it. When we work together in a manner that is pleasing to God, when we see that we are a complete and whole body of Christ, we can see the effects of it. We can see the benefits of it as we work together towards that hope and promise of eternal life. If there's anyone tonight that needs to answer the invitation call, we want to extend that now. Because we look in the lesson tonight, we pointed out the need for evangelizing, going out preaching the word to all people. What's one of the works of the church? Being able to show others the need to be able to believe in Jesus Christ, be a son of God, being willing to repent of their sins, confess their belief, they can be baptized. And if you need to answer and respond to the invitation call tonight, we want to extend that now. Or maybe tonight you need to make your life right with God by having the prayers of the congregation here. You realize that you're living in sin, you're ready to repent of your sins, you're ready to seek that forgiveness that God is willing to offer and offer that pardon to us. If we can pray for you tonight, we'll be glad, and pray with you, we'll be glad to pray for you and with you on your behalf. Maybe you just need those prayers of encouragement, continuing to build each other up. Maybe you're struggling with things in your life and you need those prayers to be able to build each other up. We'll be glad to do it. Be glad to help you. Be glad to pray for you. We're about to sing song number 332, I Surrender All. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation call tonight, ready to surrender all to Christ, we'll be glad to assist you. All you have to do is make a note on how we can help you. And you can do it now while together, while we stand and while we sing.